Rewatch Podcast presents The Weekend at Bernie's Rewatch. Join us for some bonus episodes as we revisit these films in a smaller film franchise. Send your feedback to the Rewatch Podcast at gmail.com. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast or follow us on Twitter at rewatchpodcast. Today we're discussing Weekend at Bernie's 2, starring Andrew McCarthy, Jonathan Silverman, Terry Kaiser, Troy Byer, Barry Bostwick, Tom Wright, Steve James, and Novella Nelson, directed by Robert Klein. Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast. I'm Corey, and I wasn't the one who was out conga dancing all night.
And this is Nathan. And where on earth are we going to find a live chicken in New York City?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't have this one. This chicken's with me.
I know. How about we just get a pigeon instead? Oh, sorry. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be back for Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Very original name.
I know. Shall we just jump straight into the trailer?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Are you sure?
Yep, that's him.
America's favorite stiff is back.
That's Bernie Lomax. I recognize that smirk anywhere.
But this corpse has a job to do.
I found this in Bernie's wallet. It's a key to a safety deposit box in St. Thomas. That's the $2 million that Lomax stole.
It's noted as a personal entry account.
What does it mean,
Richard? Only one who could get in is Bernie Lomax personally, and, well, he's kind of dead right now.
We go back to the morgue. We get the body. No. We go to St. Thomas. No. We take Bernie to the bank.
So they're packing him up.
I think I'm going to sit down. Thanks. Get in there.
And heading for the islands.
Whoa! Downwind! Four! Franco!
But they're about to discover...
Raise this man from the dead. He will lead you to where he has hidden the money.
...that Bernie Lomax is more popular than ever.
Two guys! They're taking Bernie!
Hey!
Rich!
What'd you do with Bernie?
He's in the fridge where we put him.
You are in the power of the Mogul.
You were supposed to be here guarding Bernie!
Why would I have to guard a dead man stuck in a 2-foot refrigerator?
He's got style.
Where is he now?
You're so cute!
He's got charm.
How did you happen to meet old Bernie?
In the conga line.
He's just got no soul.
I just saw a dead man walking on the bottom of the ocean.
Uh-oh!
But that never stopped Bernie.
Go!
Bernie? Oh, parasailing?
Who is that?
He's our boss. He's dead. Don't worry about it.
Oh.
From being the life of the party.
See, Arnold, he's not afraid of you. You're the bravest guy I've ever met.
Weekend at Bernie's 2. No one does dead like Bernie.
Welcome back.
Yeah. So, Weekend at Bernie's 2, let's check out the trivia.
There kind of wasn't a whole lot of trivia about this one.
Not a lot out there. No.
Yeah, I was clutching at straws a little bit when I was putting it together.
Yeah, I mean, if we took more time off and really searched it, maybe we'd find more. But yeah, not too much love for Weekend at Bernie's 2 out there.
I tried every possible Google search I could find, and there just wasn't that much. But that's okay. Weekend at Bernie's 2 was released on July 9th, 1993, on a budget of $7 million and went on to gross $12 million in the States alone. So it wasn't too bad for them.
Yeah, they did all right. I mean, $12 million for the US alone is, you know, they've almost doubled their budget.
Yeah, and that's not taking into consideration any home rentals or TV residuals or anything like that. So they probably did not too bad on this film. Maybe not enough to justify making another, but certainly enough to justify making a sequel.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's only 4 years after the first one.
Mm.
So we're still firmly in, like, VHS home rental market too. So they would have made a killing on VHS in the video rental stores. And I know personally, that's how I saw this movie. I definitely rented this out at the video store more than once when I was a kid.
Oh, very much so. And this is actually directed by Robert Klein. Now, Robert Klein was a reasonably prolific writer here. He was actually the guy behind the National Lampoon's European Vacation
nice.
Script. And he obviously wrote the first week Weekend at Bernie's as well, but he wasn't behind the camera on that one. I think it was Terry Kotcheff was the director on that film, and for the sequel, Robert Klein has kind of decided to take it on.
Yeah, and as we were talking about last week, I mean, there was some sort of like legal battle going on between the filmmakers and 20th Century Fox over that first one.
Mm.
This one opens up very recognizably with a Paramount logo. So yeah. You can see why, with all that legal stuff going on, that maybe they just let the rights to Weekend at Bernie's jump ship to somebody else.
So what else do we have there, right?
This movie, it's interesting that people remember this movie, and specifically Weekend at Bernie's 2, because it seems to pop up in a lot of TV shows of the time.
Yeah, I know.
And even going into later. So, you know, it was mentioned in season 8 of Seinfeld. The episode, yeah. The Comeback, where Kramer actually recommends the movie to Elaine. And she's actually seen watching the movie. And, of course, she's sitting there and has to abruptly scream at the TV. Bernie's dead, you idiots.
Yes. I like the setup for the Seinfeld episode. It says Kramer recommends it to Elaine as an hilarious premise instead of a staff pick by the art house goon Vincent, or as it's known as, isn't it Gene's Picks or something like that? Is that right?
Picks.
Back in the day when you'd go to a video store and there'd be like the staff members would all have their appropriate kind of, you know, staff picks, and you'd always kind of go off them. And they made a big thing out of it in Seinfeld, didn't they?
Yeah. It's very Kramer as well. Like, don't watch this art house movie. We could have Bernie's too.
It was actually also referenced in How I Met Your Mother, a show that I'm not familiar with at all. That show just passed me by. I'm assuming it passed you by too?
Well, I watched a few seasons, but I kind of just dropped off with it. I never found out who the mother was, that's for sure.
No, I think they did reveal it at the end, but I really couldn't tell you. But apparently this was introduced in an episode called Weekend at Barney's. Now, but Barney is the Neil Patrick Harris character, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, this I find one of the more interesting facts about this film is that, inspired by the movement of the movie's namesake, Bernie, a style of dance was actually created called Movin' Like Bernie. And apparently homemade movies went viral on the internet, from children to soldiers serving overseas. Even professional athletes got in on the act as well, including NFL player Ray Rice, who was playing for the Baltimore Ravens at the time, after scoring a touchdown during a nationally televised game in 2011. Like, this film came out in 93. We're talking 18 years later, and they're still talking about it. They're creating dances about it,
doing the dance. I can imagine what it is too, because I don't remember this at all.
No,
but yeah, I imagine it's him doing the conga line, right? The way he wobbles his head.
Yeah,
stand up, tilt your back, you know, back it a little bit, and then bubble your head and walk around.
We'll obviously talk about it more as we get into the film's premise, but there's a big through line to do with music and Bernie, and he kind of, whenever music comes on, he kind of gets up and does this kind of jiggle, doesn't he?
It's actually quite funny. I think it's funny.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But also here, we've got the Rotten Tomatoes score. It's only got a 10% rating. It was negative reviews all around for this movie when it came out.
Yeah.
People didn't like it.
I think from all around the web kind of perspective, this is not a loved film. Definitely not. But it's got a bit of a cultish kind of following as well. And as we spoke about before, from a box office point of view, it didn't do too badly. People went and saw this film. So money talks in some situations, and it certainly did in this one. There were plans to do a third film, but apparently it never materialized. I'm not too sure. I couldn't find much more info on that. And this is now... When I was first watching this film, I saw this guy fly past, and he looked really familiar to me. And it was the guy from CSI. His name's Gary Doudan. You'll probably recognize him if you saw him, but this was his first feature film.
I'm going to IMDb him, since we've got this trivia up in front of us. And I'm going to see if I recognize him.
Do it, man.
Oh, okay, right, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I recognize him from Alien Resurrection.
Is he in that, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But yeah, you're right. CSI guy.
Yep.
What scene would he have been in?
He was one of the two kind of henchmen at the start on the island. It's kind of hard to explain. I couldn't tell you what his character name is, but he was brief. He was only in a couple of scenes. I think he showed up at the start and at the end. But anyway, it's irrelevant. Doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And as for, you know, plans for a third movie, which never materialized, I mean, what if, like, Netflix produced a Weekend at Bernie's 3 and got back Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman? Would you watch it?
Oh, if they got Full House back, man, they could do Weekend at Bernie's. And it sounds like Full House is a big hit on Netflix. They're going to do a season 2. And I know some people love it, some people hate it. But there's no reason why they couldn't do a Weekend at Bernie's. If they're making Adam Sandler films endlessly on Netflix, they could do Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, or even like retool it for a TV series, like a Netflix original TV series. Recast and do the premise again.
I think I'd like to see it without Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman, though. I think maybe a fresh take on it wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah, new actors. You know, keep the character names and everything, but sort of, yeah, just turn it into a TV series, man. I would watch the shit out of that.
Nice. Nice. Have we finished our trivia?
Yeah, I think so. That's pretty much all we could find. Nothing too big, but still some interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. All right, so let's get into the main discussion.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the film opens and it pretty much just picks up where we left off, right?
Yeah, I get the impression the film literally starts like almost half a day later. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the first film, they're lounging on the beach with one of the girls there, and I think Bernie ends up on the sand with them. But the police are investigating his death, and it's all kind of tied up into a neat little bow. And our heroes Larry and Richard are not in trouble. And yeah, it literally kicks off at, I think they're back in New York and they're at the morgue and they're identifying Bernie's body, and the morgue staff, or the cops or someone like that, they're trying to talk to them and get them to sign paperwork and stuff.
The weird thing from the get-go, I have to get this out first. Gwen is nowhere to be seen.
Yes.
Catherine
Mary Stuart, wasn't
it? Catherine Mary Stuart, that's right. Yeah. So the character of Gwen, she's nowhere to be seen. So that's weird because we're picking up where we left off.
You know, I didn't even think of that because they made such a big deal about that in the first film. And she was clearly the object of Richard's affections for the whole film, totally pursuing her. And we're like half a day later and she's nowhere?
Nope. Just left her on Hampton's Island. Went back to New York to claim Bernie's body. But yeah, they're kind of like worried about signing things. They're like, are we responsible for anything if we sign this? But of course, Larry finds out that he can get all of Bernie's personal effects if he signs this. So he's like, oh yes, my dear Uncle Bernie.
I know. Which is kind of funny, but it's also very, like he's not a nice guy at all.
Nah.
Larry, he leads Richard down the garden path so many times.
Exactly. And that's the impetus for, you know, what this whole movie is going to be about, you know, because he gets all this stuff of Bernie's, you know, the Rolex, he gets the credit cards, and, you know, eventually he's going to find some information about what happened with the $2 million.
Yeah. And that's where we kind of end up. So we've gone from the morgue. Larry falsely claims that Bernie was his uncle, takes his credit card, which is a bit of a major plot line for this whole film. At the insurance company, Larry and Richard are actually quizzed by their boss, their immediate boss, and Arthur Hummel, who's played by the one and only Barry Boswick, of course, from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Man, I love him in this movie, hey?
And Spin City, he was in that too.
That's right, yeah. I think he kind of like works for the big boss, though, right? He's like an investigator for the company.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You do get the impression he's working for the big boss, because they do make a bit of a comment at the end where I think the boss says to Barry's character, if you don't get this sorted, keep in mind you'll be on the scrap heap as well, kind of thing. And he almost threatens him, doesn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's kind of the whole thing, is that Larry and Richard are back in New York. They're figuring, man, we're going to get a big promotion and everything. We worked out this whole problem with the company. We figured out that Bernie was involved.
Yep.
So we're freaking gold. But when they get there, yeah, they're interrogated pretty much. And they end up losing their jobs.
Which is a surprise to them because they don't expect that at all. In fact, they expect a promotion because in their mind, they save the money. They save the company $2 million. So I think there's a big through line as well where Richard is always talking, but I think he's constantly saying stuff like, I really want my door. I really want my room, my office. You know what I mean? And he's always talking about that. And lo and behold, they get pretty cranky when they realize they're getting the axe.
Yeah. And Barry Bostwick is there to prove that these two were in it with Bernie. They know where the $2 million is. And I am going to investigate them, you know, private detective style. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to see their every move, and they will lead me to the $2 million.
Exactly. Barry's character keeps asking them questions like, why on earth were you invited to his private place on the weekend? And the two just don't have very good answers, do they?
Even though they've gotten away with all that, you know, shenanigans on the island, it still doesn't look very good for them.
No, it doesn't. After we kind of leave the office, we then flash over to Larry and Richard having dinner, paid for with Bernie's credit card, might I add, it's very cavalier, isn't it? From like Larry's kind of flashing it around and he's being really quite ostentatious with the use of money, and I'll give you a tip and put it on my card and we'll get this and we'll get that. And he's being quite over the top, isn't he?
He actually does drop another important point here too, is that, yeah, he's using Bernie's credit card, but in order to use Bernie's credit card, he had to get his signature down pat.
Yeah.
Which, fortunately enough, he's also left-handed. That's also going to come in.
Yeah. which he practices endlessly. Yeah. Trying to get his signature kind of right, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. But he's there at this, like, it's like the fanciest restaurant in New York. Yeah. Getting all this food. He's called Richard down there, who has shown up in his pajamas, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, I know. So Larry tells Richard over this dinner that he's found a key to a safety deposit box in St. Thomas and asks Richard if he will use the computer at work to see if the $2 million is in Bernie's account. So at first, Richard refuses, but after some very kind of coercing from Larry, he joins in on what's kind of happening, which to me is a bit of a strange plot point because Richard seems so straight-laced. He doesn't really look like the kind of guy that would get connected to kind of all this business, you know what I mean?
This is the most expensive restaurant in New York.
Richard, you still wear pajamas.
You brought me over here in the middle of the night to loan you money to pay for your bills.
Oh, I get it. Your mother doesn't like you getting the sheets all sweaty.
What's the big emergency? Why did you call? I found this in Bernie's wallet. It's a key to a safety deposit box in St. Thomas.
Huh?
Okay. This is why you woke me up. See, I have 3 job interviews in the morning, and I'd like to go back to sleep.
Rich, don't you read the Post? Come on, it's like this offshore money laundering. It's like that Vesco guy, Michael Milken. These guys, I'm willing to bet you, that's the $2 million that Lomax stole. Now, there's a code on the thing. All we need to do is tap in to the computer at work.
Well, you see, that presents a little problem.
That's a first,
it's illegal. And two, we were fired today.
Yeah.
How are we going to get access to the computer? Oh, my God, we're gonna break in, aren't we?
Well, in a very narrow sense of the word, that's true.
Well, I tell you what, you break in, you enjoy yourself, you go to jail.
I mean, the beauty part of the whole thing was all you had to do was work the computer. I was gonna get us in. But fine. If you can't do it, Richard, that's fine. I understand. All right, Rich, I mean, I was just trying to help you out because, I mean, look, you're gonna find it very difficult to find employment with this scandal hanging over your head. Just have to do the little computer thing.
All right. Your check, sir.
Thank you. I put a little something extra on there for you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Lomax. That's very generous of you, sir.
Thank you.
You're using Bernie's credit card.
Yeah. 5 gold ones in there, Richie. I practiced signature, got it down cold. You want one? I mean, I got extra.
Yeah, I mean, Larry does manage to talk him into this stuff pretty quickly.
And I know.
He does get on board with the whole plan, like, pretty easily as well. I mean, it's all right. I mean, we need to get to where we're going. And unlike the first movie, I mean, we're only in New York for, what, like 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, only 10-15 minutes. But keep in mind, before Richard and Larry leave New York, we flash to the U.S. Virgin Islands, and this is where the movie gets quite outlandish.
Oh yeah, the Mobu.
Yeah. The voodoo queen, there's a voodoo queen named Mobu, who was played by Novella Nelson, an actress that I actually don't really know too much about. And she's hired by some mobsters to find the money Bernie stole. So she sends two of the servants to her, which is Henry and Charles, who are these two African-American guys who are servants of the voodoo queen, and they get kind of almost like a spell gets put on them a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, like she sort of uses her voodoo magic on them to sort of trick them into wanting to help her with finding the money, but getting the information from Bernie, which you're like, okay, he's a dead man, but, you know,
that's not a problem, is it?
Yeah, this is the point of it. We need to be able to have Bernie's dead body being shuttled around like we did in the first one. So this is just as good a plan as any. Go back to New York, find Bernie's dead body, do this voodoo ritual on him, which will make him stand up and take you to the money.
Yep. Exactly. So, and she gives them all these very precise instructions about exactly what to do. So Henry and Charles take these instructions, and before you know it, they're on a plane and they're heading to New York City, aren't they?
They kind of screw up the ceremony pretty much.
Mm. But yeah, but their attempts to bring back Bernie are plagued by enormous accidents that continually kind of happen to them. Like, they prepare in a bathroom at a very sleazy porno theater for a voodoo ceremony, which I thought was slightly amusing and truthfully perhaps a little unnecessary. The fact that it had to be a porno theater, because they kept flashing to all these fairly desperate looking men, and there's this gag where there's a live chicken involved and they're setting up in the theater, and they lose the chicken in the theater for whatever reason, and they're trying to scrounge around the theater trying to find the chicken, and they come to this random guy sitting in a chair and he's holding a live chicken, and they say, come on man, you got to give that to me, it's my chicken. And he goes, no it's not, I brought this with me. And I thought, why
does this guy have a chicken with him at the porno theater?
Yeah, exactly. So it just kind of, it confused me, man.
Yeah, I thought it was funny though. These little gags, I think, are cracking me up.
Yeah, I didn't mind these two. I kind of thought that they were reasonably funny. They look kind of familiar too. I'm sure I've kind of seen them in like early 90s kind of films too. I'm not too sure exactly where from, but they did look reasonably familiar.
Yeah, you could see them in like White Man Can't Jump or something like that. Those early movies that were all about New York's downtown areas or whatever. Like firmly set in New York, you know, like these guys would be there as like, you know, scene fillers.
Exactly. So they sit up in this sleazy porno theater, they lose the chicken, and then they're scrounging the streets of New York City trying to find a lost chicken, because it's crucial to the success of the plan and reanimating Bernie through the voodoo ceremony. So they're walking around New York City, and they walk up to like an Asian Chinese kind of restaurant with a dead chicken in the thing, and they contemplate using that. One of the guys says, look, you know, we can't, it has to be a live chicken. Nothing else will kind of suit. But for whatever reason, they decide to go against that plan and they find a pigeon, don't they?
Yeah. We can either get a dead rotisserie chicken or a live pigeon. So they go with the live pigeon.
And that's crucial as a plot point, because let's just say the voodoo ceremony doesn't necessarily go as planned.
Exactly, because what it's supposed to do is that they perform the ceremony, they play some music, and that will, you know, reanimate his body to lead them to where the money is. But instead, because they use the pigeon, he now only moves when music is playing. As soon as the music shuts off, he becomes dead again.
Dead again, yeah, exactly. And I've got to say right now, whilst I'm thinking about it, is hats off to Terry Kaiser in this film, because I think he does a pretty good job playing Bernie, because he's a dead man and he only comes alive when the music kind of comes on, and he's quite funny, and he certainly does his best, doesn't he?
Yeah, we were talking in the trivia about the, you know, the moving like Bernie dance. It's very distinctive the way he moves. when the music's on.
I'm still stunned that this craze swept the world only a few years ago. Like, it's just crazy.
It is, but it's very funny. You know, he's still got that condescending grin on his face. They put those sunglasses on him as well, so he looks distinctive, but now he's got this distinctive walk that he does when he's, you know, zombie moving towards the money. It's very funny. I think it's very well done. And, you know, at this time as well, these guys have done this voodoo ceremony, but Larry and Richard have an idea to get the money out of the safety deposit box over at St. Thomas. So yes. They actually want to go and take Bernie's dead body.
I know.
And use it. To go and get the money.
Oh, man. Like, so, I realize they've got stars in their eyes, dollars in their eyes, because all they're thinking about is money, but their plan is quite nefarious and not very nice, is it?
No, because it gets worse for Henry and Charles, because they have his reanimated body and they're going to take it to St. Thomas, but they end up losing him on the train.
Yeah.
Some guy nicks their boombox.
Yeah.
And they run after the dude, and of course, old Bernie's left on the train. So Bernie ends up being shuttled back to the morgue where Larry and Richard find him, and they kidnap him. They stuff him in a suitcase.
I know.
To go to St. Thomas. Like, no customs or anything. Like, they just have this dead body in a suitcase and manage to get over to the Virgin Islands.
And they don't think of these things too. And meanwhile, back in New York City, as Bernie's body keeps coming back to the morgue, you've got this gag of the boss of the morgue just going, what's going on? Like, he's already been interned. Like, he was here half an hour ago, and now he's coming back, and he's just, yeah, he's confusing everyone, isn't he?
I think it's good. It's better than the New York stuff we got in the first movie.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think it's much better than all the stuff with Catherine Mary Stewart and whatnot in the first one. All that stuff felt a little forced. And this stuff feels a bit forced too, but it's a bit more gag-driven.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, once we're on the Virgin Islands, I mean, this is what made me think of doing Weekend at Bernie's for our, you know, bonus episodes here while we were talking about Police Academy, because we're coming up on, you know, Assignment Miami Beach, which, you know, has that very tropical 80s feel. And I was thinking of Weekend at Bernie's 2, because they end up here on the Virgin Islands.
We've spent 15, 20 minutes talking about New York, but the reality is 2/3 of this film is spent at St. Thomas. It's only the first 15, 20 minutes at New York, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think it's really good to have this new location. You know, we did spend the first movie on the Hamptons Island, right?
Oh, totally.
So it's sort of linking it that way, but we're going somewhere a bit different. And from what I understand, they actually did film on St. Thomas.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
So I'm assuming this was written in because they probably had some sort of filming tax break available to them. So let's set it in the Virgin Islands.
And the budget was only $7 million, but it's not nothing. I mean, and like, it's not like this is a big visual effects kind of stunt driven masterpiece. I mean, so they could probably afford to kind of do some location shooting, and it certainly shows you feel the location quite heavily on this film.
I think it's good. I think it's an interesting location.
Yeah. So we've got our heroes, Larry and Richard, bringing Bernie in a suitcase to St. Thomas, and their big plan is to get Bernie to the bank so they can open up the deposit box, isn't it?
They set up this whole thing where they're going to put him in like a trench coat,
yeah,
and then wrap up his head so it looks like he's had like tooth surgery or something.
Yeah,
that's why Larry and Richard are there, to sort of like make sure everything's cool with him or something. But what they've actually done is slip their arms through the arms of the trench coat, so it looks like the Bernie's moving around. Yeah, like I said, an important plot point that Andrew McCarthy is left-handed, so he can slip his left hand down and it would look like the Bernie is signing with his right hand.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, before we even get to that, I mean, it's this whole thing about, you know, the music, of course.
Yeah.
Music keeps happening and Bernie keeps disappearing
yep.
from the hotel room, because they get to their hotel and they stuff him in the bar fridge. And then Larry becomes enamored with this local woman.
Who doesn't seem that interested in him.
No, not at all. Her name's Claudia.
Yeah, that's it. Claudia. Troy Bayer is the actress that plays her.
Yeah, so he's off on a date with her.
Yeah.
And Richard, like, falls asleep at his desk, you know, trying to figure out the logistics of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And this big conga party is happening outside. So the music's going and Bernie drops out of the fridge and ends up, like, waltzing into this conga line.
Oh, my Lord.
He meets this woman. Yeah, and he gets in an action with her boyfriend.
I know. And then don't they end up on the beach and she starts to like kiss Bernie or something like that?
Just take it easy, Rich. Take it easy.
Is she dead too?
Look, don't be ridiculous.
Maybe it's one of those above ground Caribbean cemeteries.
Rich. Could be. Okay.
Hello?
I'll handle this.
Oh, you, please.
Excuse me. Hey, wake up!
Oh, it's morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, we were just sleeping.
We?
Yeah, me and, oh, I don't know his name.
Bernie.
That's cute. Bernie, wake up. Come on, it's morning.
Excuse me, late, miss, mm-hmm. lady? Mm-hmm. You were with Bernie last night?
Yeah, he's kind of shy, isn't he? He doesn't say a whole lot.
No, he's very, very shy. By the way, just out of idle curiosity, how did you happen to meet old Bernie?
In the conga line.
Am I the only one alive who is not in the conga line,
Bernie,
Rich?
Was conga dancing last night?
Yeah.
Time to go.
He's very graceful.
Yeah,
and
come
brave.
On.
Oh, he's sure. A wonderful listener.
He's so fabulous.
He's so great. Yeah, you know, he didn't even try to come on to
no,
me.
No,
there are some just, nice guys in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's his friends.
Yeah, you know, I should wake him up.
No.
He's grumpy in the morning.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it.
Is he going to be all
he's
right?
He's going to be fine.
Don't you worry about it.
Well, tell him that Brenda said goodbye.
Go there, Brenda. You have a nice life.
Okay.
Conga line, huh, Rich? You didn't happen to see him in the conga
no,
line,
I suppose.
It. What the hell is going on?
It was a different conga line than the one you were in, huh?
No. It's like Ripley's here.
Yes.
And then...
Because the music stops and he sort of, you know, he just slumps back. And she just figures, oh, he's going to sleep. Yeah, she cuddles up next to him. It's very random.
It's very. And then Richard and Larry wake up the next morning, open up the fridge and realize that Bernie's not there. Where on earth is he? And they can't work it out. So they go running around the beach and looking everywhere for him. And they find him on the beach. And this woman is still cuddled up to Bernie. And they kind of wake her up a little bit. And she kind of looks a bit shocked. It's like, oh, what are you two doing here? Like, she has no understanding at all that she's lying with a corpse.
Exactly. They managed to shuttle her away, though. So
they did.
That's a plus sign.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again either. It's just like a funny thing to throw in there.
Now, we haven't really mentioned that Barry Boswick is on the tail of Larry and Richard this whole time, isn't he? Like, we learn pretty quickly that he is following them to try and prove that they are somehow involved in the $2 million embezzlement that Bernie had constructed. And he's determined to try and work it all out, isn't he?
Yeah, and he becomes increasingly mad about the whole thing. Like, he starts going crazy because, of course, he's seeing Bernie around the place.
Yes.
And, of course, he doesn't realize that Bernie's dead.
No.
But they're shuttling around this dead body. So, yeah, he starts going insane, thinking that Bernie's maybe not dead and freaking him out.
That's right. So the guys successfully use Bernie to open his safety deposit box at the bank in a reasonably weird scene where you're right, because they're using Andrew McCarthy's left-handedness and Jonathan Silverman's right-handedness, and they kind of wedge Bernie in the middle and they're really close together and they kind of pretend to have a conversation with the bank, like making Bernie kind of nod his head and do all kinds of things and sign with McCarthy's hand, and it just doesn't look right at all. But for whatever reason, the bank buys it and they successfully open up the deposit box. But, and there's a big fat but here, they're disappointed with what's inside, aren't they?
Nothing in there except for the scribblings of some sort of treasure map.
Meanwhile, Larry befriends the lovely native girl Claudia, who we spoke about before, and actually gives her the map, who kind of deciphers that there's some kind of voodoo kind of language on the map, and actually divulges in a fairly interesting plot point, or convenient, I should say, that her dad is like an expert in this language, and he'll kind of show it to him to try and work out what it's all about.
He's not like into the voodoo or anything like that, but yeah, he's sort of studied it, is familiar with like what the symbols and all that would mean. The weird thing is, though, I mean, thinking back on this, is that the treasure map really doesn't have any hindrance on anything. It's got nothing to do with anything, because they never use it.
Yes, they never really use it, do they? I don't think they really get that far, do they?
Because they are picked up by Henry and Charles, who take them to see the Mobu. And the Mobu making it look like she's, you know, doing some sort of sorcery thing. But really, she's just poisoned Richard.
You lost them. Well, not exactly. Anybody could have.
Twice. He was going to lead you to the money.
Oh, yes, Miss Boo, I know we messed with the bones and that fool with the conjuring, and now he can only walk when the music's playing on the side.
Where is he now?
The white boys.
We don't know where he is.
We left him in the Jeep. Dead?
Deceased.
Yeah, but ask him what they was doing at the bank with Bernie.
Well, Rich? No. Well, we needed him to get into the safety deposit box.
What is in the box?
A map.
Give me the map.
We don't have it.
We don't have the map.
No map.
Kill them.
No!
Wait, Jesus, kill him!
He lost it!
Please!
If you kill them, we both lose. I have another way.
Drink. I'd love to. You see, I just had lunch. But there's always room for Jell-O.
Oh. A powerful conjure. Unless you have the antidote by night, you die. Bring me the map. You live.
Yes.
Giving him, like, 24 hours to retrieve Bernie's money and bring it back to them for the antidote.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So this is kind of like where they get, you know, the big data dump of what's going on.
I know.
So they know that they can play the music and Bernie will lead them to the money.
Yeah, that's right. So when Larry, Richard and Claudia are all reunited after getting found by the mob and off to the Mobu and the gun to his head and forcing to drink the money, they are all shocked to discover that Bernie's moving and realize he's leading them towards the money, as you said. To keep him moving, they put headphones on his head, which is another convenient plot point, as Bernie finds a large chest underwater in the strangest scene ever, Corey, with a dead man with headphones listening to music underwater, and he still finds a way to get to it.
Yeah. And Barry Bostwick, you know, who, like I mentioned, is going increasingly insane, is trying to relax by taking this, like, underwater tour.
Yeah.
like a glass bottom submarine.
Oh, that's right.
And sees Bernie walking on the bottom of the ocean.
And do you know, man, it was killing me who the woman, one of the attendants that was kind of leading the tour.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She looked like a really familiar actress. It's like, where have I seen her from? And I realized she's from Orange is the New Black. Have you?
I've never watched it.
You've never watched Orange? She's one of the inmates in that. She's one of the crazy inmates. And she's quite good in that, but I thought she was familiar. It took me ages to work it out. And then it finally did. But yeah, you're right. Barry Bostwick is going completely mad. He kind of wants to exit the tour underwater.
They end up, like, restraining him, and he's shuttled off to, you know, some sort of hospital or something like that. Like, that's how his character is taken out of the movie.
Yeah, no, you don't see him again, do you? Because he keeps seeing a dead man. He could, and no one will believe him.
Yeah, so he's just gone completely insane now.
I know.
Yeah, you know, Bernie uncovers the money. It was hidden under this pile of rocks down there. Before they can take the money from him, Larry shoots him through the head with a spear gun.
I know.
Which destroy the headphones, of course. So, you know, they have to come up with this whole thing about using their water tanks because they've been following him, scuba diving.
Yeah.
They use their air tanks to sort of, like, create buoyancy, and they float up to the top and manage to get out. Of course, Richard's, like, you know, slowly getting worse. He's been poisoned.
Yep.
So they flag down this, like, this carriage ride, you know, it's being pulled by horses.
Yeah, they see
the dead guy, and everybody runs away, including the horse. The driver actually takes the horse. So they use Bernie to pull this carriage to the Mobu.
I know.
It's really weird.
And doesn't they, don't they end up going down a hill and the carriage goes out of control?
Exactly. And they just happen to crash down right next to where the Mobu is.
Yeah.
And Bernie's, you know, he's at the front pulling the carriage. So he gets, like, flung around, smacks her right in the face. So she gets knocked out.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, all the cops and everybody shows up and Richard gets his cure. and the Mobu and all the mobster people are arrested.
Yeah, so the crash also causes Bernie to drop the chest on the ground and all the money falls on the ground, which of course drives Larry totally crazy because all he's really interested in is money, isn't it?
I think they need to, like, turn it over because all the cops and stuff are there.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
And so it's also revealed too, we almost forgot this point, but, you know, Claudia's father shows up, the doctor.
Yeah, who knows everything about the Mobu.
Yeah, and he finds out that in order to reverse, you know, this poison that's killing Richard, he needs the blood of a virgin. And they're like, oh, where are we going to find a virgin? And oh, Larry's like, just take my blood.
I actually thought that was one of the funnier parts of the film because I didn't expect it at all. Then when you saw Larry kind of like sheepishly go up to him and just go, just do it, just take it. And because you know that he's never going to hear the end of it, is he?
So that's quite funny. And as for Henry and Charles as well, because they like failed to do the Mobu's bidding, they get turned into goats.
I know, because isn't there this gag that they play a couple of times throughout the film where they start talking to animals or goats, or they start looking at goats in this kind of attractive kind of way, and
yeah,
and they keep sort of saying to each other, you're freaking me out, man, you're freaking me out, you've got to stop doing that, you know?
Yeah, it pretty much starts like when they're in New York and they're like, we don't need, you know, it's after they've done the ceremony and they were arrested, I think, at some point. And they get out of jail and they're just like, we don't need to do what the Mabu wants us to do. We're in New York. She's all the way over there. And then immediately he starts to like get that goat sound coming out of his voice, to which they're like, okay, maybe we should follow this route.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, they end up getting turned into goats by the end.
I know, which is strange. So the end of the film ends up with, like, obviously everything's been resolved once again. Bernie's been put back into the morgue. You can only assume he is, or taken away by the appropriate authorities. The Mobu's been knocked out. Barry Boswick's character's been taken away to a mental asylum. Henry and Charles have been turned into goats. But Larry and Richard actually end up on a boat. And I actually didn't really like this plot point that much. It kind of made me giggle a little bit, but it turns out that Larry confesses to Richard that he only returned, or so he returned the $2 million to the insurance company, but only after learning that Bernie actually stole $3 million. So Larry and Richard use some of the remaining million to purchase a yacht, crewed, of course, by attractive women. Don't they kind of order the women to go to like Monte Carlo or something like that? Like right at the end?
I mean, it's $1 million. Like that's a fair chunk of money. But I mean, after buying that boat
and hiring all those crew
and
it won't last them long.
Yeah, $1 million's not going to go too far. I mean, it's 1993, but still, like $1 million in 1993 is not going to let you live a lavish lifestyle forever.
And they're wearing those shirts that I believe Larry bought for them really early on in the film, and Richard wasn't really keen. They were kind of wearing these really crass kind of Hawaiian shirts, like, come on, you're going to wear this shirt. And they're wearing both those shirts on the yacht at the end, surrounded by beautiful women going to Monte Carlo. So it is what it is.
Yeah, they need to like resolve it somehow, I guess, with a happy ending for those two for whatever reason. Yeah, it's just, it is a bit of a weird wrap up. And then the whole thing, you know, they cut to, you know, this big parade that's going on there. Bernie is just walking through it, you know, as if he's in the parade because all the music's going. And he's actually walking the two goats.
Oh, that's right. He is too. That happens right at the end. It's like the final gag, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he's just left to walk around St. Thomas forever, I guess?
You'd think so. You'd think so. So, yeah, I actually thought, yeah, I forgot about that. I thought he ended up back at the morgue, but he didn't. You're right.
So, you know, the ending's a little whatever. But I think as a whole, I think this movie's actually really funny. A lot funnier than the first one, you know. Yeah, it takes some big stretches with this whole voodoo thing. reanimating Bernie's dead body.
It's kind of hard not having the eyes roll just a little bit when as soon as the word voodoo kind of gets mentioned. It's kind of hard to take seriously, but it's a bit of fun. It's a bit of fun, definitely.
All right, so ratings, recommends?
You know what? Honestly, dude, I've had more fun talking about these films than I had watching them, truthfully. When I was watching them, I didn't get that many laughs out of it. I think you probably enjoyed these films slightly more than I did. I had serious issues with the motivations of the two characters, in particular Larry. And I wasn't a big fan of McCarthy's performance either. I think I've seen him better when he's being slightly more serious. I didn't really buy him as a total comedic New York kind of troublemaker, young kind of troublemaker. I had fun watching these films, but I didn't love them. I'm not going to recommend either of them. I think I gave the first one 3 or 4 out of 10. I'm going to give this one 3 lost chickens out of 10 as well. I'm going to go put it at the same level as the first one. I'm not going to recommend these. I mean, if you're desperate to watch it, do it. You might get something out of it because these films did do reasonably well, but I wouldn't call them great films. What about you, mate?
Well, I think I might give this one a recommend. Like I said in the first episode, that I think I've seen this one a lot more than I have that first one, and I really enjoy this one a bit more because, yeah, they come up with some like outlandish ideas with the voodoo and all that, but I think it makes it fun, you know, and all the stuff on St. Thomas, and especially the stuff with Bernie walking around and people interacting with this animated dead body, I think is quite funny, you know, and Terry Kaiser does a great job with it. So I think I'm going to come in on the side of recommend here and give this 7 conga lines.
Wow, 7.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was funny. Fair enough. I laughed at it a lot more than I did that first one.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, you know, each to their own. As I said, I did enjoy watching these films, but I think I had more fun talking about them than watching them. So that's okay. It's all right. We're allowed to disagree.
Yeah. All right. So next week, our next episode, we are actually going to be getting into the Naked Gun series.
Yes.
So we'll be kicking off the first one, the Naked Gun, from the files of Police Squad. And yeah, that, I think this will be a lot of fun.
I'm actually quite looking forward to these because I remember I've seen these films a few times and I remember laughing a lot. So that's not the only show that we're rewatching. With you and Tom, you're starting your Lois and Clark rewatch, aren't you?
We are. We're delving right into Lois and Clark, revisiting that show. A lot of people, you know, online just around the place, we've been posting about it. It seems like a lot of people are excited for us to be talking Lois and Clark. So yeah, really, really looking forward to getting into that.
I actually saw season one the other day somewhere. I think I might hire it and join in.
Yeah, do it.
I will.
We encourage feedback. We always encourage feedback.
Exactly. So that's it for this episode of the Rewatch Podcast. Keep up with listener interaction by joining our Facebook page at facebook.com/rewatchpodcast or follow the show on Twitter at rewatchpod and visit our webpage, rewatchpodcast.podomatic.com.
And remember, you can always write us an email or record a voice message and send it to therewatchpodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you've enjoyed the show, please consider giving us a rate and review on iTunes. It's always very helpful. And you can help support the Rewatch Podcast by heading over to patreon.com/rewatchpodcast and make a monthly contribution as little as $1. And we're also on YouTube. So just search the Rewatch Podcast and subscribe.
Every single episode is on YouTube. That's about 60 episodes on there.
Yes, I got to thank you for that, Nathan. You were the one who spearheaded our back catalog getting up on YouTube.
It's all right. No problem at all. We'll keep it going.
Good work with that.
Thanks, mate. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me to discuss Weekend at Bernie's. Really looking forward to getting into Naked Gun next.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, awesome. All right. So, until next time, I'll just say, swim with the fishes, you zombie bastard.
And we're stealing shoes off a dead man. We're definitely going to hell.
The Rewatch Podcast is not associated with the copyright holders of these films and no copyright infringement is intended. The use of any and all copyrighted material is only for parody, news analysis, critique or educational purposes as provided in Title 17, aka Fair Use. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Copyright 2016, The Rewatch Podcast.
Hi, Rewatch Podcast listeners. I'm Corey.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Nathan.
First off, let me say that we have all had a blast doing the Rewatch Podcast. Every week, we put out another episode for free for you. And although we enjoy these discussions with each other, we truly do this for you guys out there in podcast land.
That's right, Corey. But we are here today to tell you about Patreon. Every week, there are costs involved in podcasting about film and television, including hosting and bandwidth charges, our own personal internet usage, and film or show rentals and purchases. So we're asking you to become a Patreon supporter.
If you can afford as little as $1 to throw our way per month, it would really help us keep the lights on. And if you want to send $100 our way every month, we wouldn't turn that down either. But it's your choice, and we appreciate the support you bring.
As always, we strive to bring you the best quality shows we can create, and we hope that you enjoy them. So head on over to patreon.com/rewatchpodcast to become one of our patrons and show your support for the Rewatch Podcast.
And if we get enough patrons, we may even be able to produce exclusive content just for the supporters in the form of simply getting episodes before the main feed release, or even bonus film discussion episodes as a thank you for your support. The website again is patreon.com/rewatchpodcast.
Thanks, everyone.